It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bennis with you this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Our next listener, Ton, is asking about planting beet seeds. They're wondering if now is the time to plant those seeds, and then do they plant them every 2 weeks?
I wouldn't put them in now. They're still kind of putting the cart before the horse.
We're too excited.
It's snowing, folks. And so let's wait a couple of weeks, you know, at least a week. And your soil temperatures need to be around 50. Now, if you jump on Utah State University's Climate Center, has a network of weather stations around the state. And you just find the closest weather station to you, and it will tell you the soil temperature. And last week, it was consistently in the mid to high 40s. And so beets are something that I would wait on for now, unless you want to put a low tunnel or something similar over them, because the low tunnel, yes, you could probably put them in a week or two. But otherwise, I would give it at least another 2 to 3 weeks.
When is the best time to prune a box elder?
Now they'll be possibly bleed a little bit or leak sap, and so the sooner the better. Box elders they're a little bit disease prone and not the longest lived trees, but the later you wait, the worse it can be for it.
Mm-hmm. Katie is on the line from East Mill Creek. Good morning, Katie. What is your question?
Good morning. I'm currently out here pruning my blackberry bushes. And the canes that bore fruit last year have little bumps on them that are probably a maroon color, kind of hard. And if I pick them off, they're powdery underneath. Wondering if that was once an insect or if that's a normal process for it when it shuts down for winter.
It may be a normal process. And the canes that bore last year are the ones you're going to be taking out anyway, because the new canes from last year, this year's fruiting wood. And so there's that
right,
rotation.
Right, and that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, so I don't think you'll run into any problems.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know, Ton, they have tomato plants that always grow really big, but then they go all over the place. And they want to know if they can prune them and still have any tomatoes, or how would they go about that?
What I would do is look up some videos on training what are called indeterminate tomatoes, because that's what they're planting. And so when you have a tomato that grows 6 or 8 feet in one season long, and, you know, or even bigger, that's an indeterminate variety that the tomatoes come off of new growth. And so there are ways to train those up a trellis with a central leader, and you would prune some of the branches. And I would just download some or watch some YouTube videos on how to do it. It's not a complicated process, but they can be trellised. The other thing they could do are find determinate varieties like Celebrity, and they won't get quite the yield, but those will stay 3 to 4 feet at the most and just not go everywhere.
Let's take our next caller. Our next caller is Dallas in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Dallas. How can I help you? Or how can Ton help you?
Hey, guys. Hi. Last summer, I bought 3 delphinium plants, and they were really pretty hardy and in good shape. But it was like the end of June, and so I put them in the ground, and one of them had a stalk coming out. But I'm like, I broke out the stalk, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to nurture these guys throughout the summer. And then as they're supposed to be perennial, then I'm like, well, this year, you know, I'm going to really have a good show. And I'm just wondering, is that true, Tom, or what can I expect?
Well, they are perennial, and they will live for anywhere from 3 to 5 years. They're oftentimes not the longest lived, but they can also reseed. So what I would recommend doing is just letting them grow, because even though they are maybe a little tolerant of cooler weather, it's still too cold to plant them outside. So I would let them grow, and as they grow, you might be able to transplant them into larger containers if you need to, but I wouldn't outplant those until sometime between late April and early May.
I didn't make clear. I'm sorry. I put them in the ground last year when I bought them, because about 15 or 18 inches tall. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
And so, you know, they were real nice plants. I'm like, well, I just won't let them bloom this year, and I'll... Well, they didn't bloom. One of them had one stalk coming out. My folks just knock him back and then just nurture him throughout the season. And this year I should have a bumper crop. And I'm like, I remember in the way in the past, it's kind of I've had hit and miss luck with them.
Okay. Well, I would recommend just letting them do their thing then, because if they're sprouting, then they have waited the winter long enough and Mother Nature's programmed into them when to sprout. And so just let them go and let them do their thing.
Okay, will do. Thanks, buddy.
All right, Dallas.
You're welcome.
Just love them. I wish they would live longer, Tom. A couple of years is enough for me.
But yeah.
Just have to keep that in mind when you plant them, right?
You do.
Let's take our next caller. Let's see. We have Howard, who's in Springville. Good morning, Howard.
Hi. Hey, I've got a question about lilacs. We've got, after they blossom, I cut back the big leader. But the problem is, after 20 years, they've gotten really tall. Can I butch them across the top, or what can I do to kind of bring them back down to height?
Use a technique called renewal pruning, and you would go in and follow the tallest branches down into the middle of the bush and get a sawzall with a pruning blade on it and just cut those out from as low down as you can go. And you'll only cut about 20 to 25% of those limbs out of the bush. But as you cut the 3 or 4 or 5 largest ones out, it'll bring the size down by at least a third to 50%. And then wait for it to flower this spring. And you can even do this after it flowers if you want to maximize the flower production. But if you did it now, you'd wait till it's done blooming. And then after it's done blooming in May, give it a light haircut.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. Our next listener, Tana, has another lilac question. This person says they have strawberry root weevil in their lilac. What do they do to get rid of it?
There are several species of root weevil that will notch plants depending on the particular plant family. But the treatment's the same for all of them. And so in the spring, as soon as you start seeing the notching, you'll have to get a spray to spray at least weekly for 4 or 5 weeks, because the root weevils don't have an absolute life cycle. So especially as the season progresses, you can get adults and larvae and eggs all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have to spray for 4 or 5 weeks. But permethrin, spinosad, maybe 7, there's several of them out there that would do the job.
And we have Colin Fryer back with us from Red Cliffs Lodge in Moab. And Colin, tell us what's going on down there in Moab today.
Well, you know, it's been a crazy year. We were shut down a little bit last year because of the COVID, and then we got reopened, and it's just been busy ever since. We're the kind of place that people want to go to. We're 220 acres, just 110 rooms, so we're socially distanced before it was popular. all our suites have individual patios, so you can relax and be safe and enjoy this high desert air. It's really refreshing, and it's a great place to unwind. And then once you get checked in, you know, you've got all the kinds of things you can do in Moab. You can visit the national parks. You can visit Dead Horse Point. Jeeping, bikes, hike, run the river, and of course you can ride one of our cowboy horses right here at the lodge.
Tell us about your sweet deal that you have underway.
Well, we're offering a preseason deal, And I can tell you the rooms are going fast. The exposure that you've given us up there has really been great. They'd have to call or check us on the web to get the deal. And I'm sure you're going to tell them the phone number and the website at the end. Remember that when you get done with your adventure during the day, you can come back to the lodge. We've got a big dining room and a big bar area, so you can have a home-cooked meal overlooking the Colorado River.
Yeah, I was going to say, you haven't even mentioned the spectacular view.
Yeah, so we want everybody, if you get a minute, to go on the website, because you'll see the lodge is right on the banks of the Colorado River, surrounded by these 2,000-foot redstone cliffs. So it's like being at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It's really a spectacular view.
Colin, it's been fun to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, and I hope you come and see us soon.
I'm going to come see you. I told Jennifer I have to find a time to escape, so thank you so much. And everyone can find out about the sweet deal where you can save $100 off any cabin or suite. All you need to do is call 435-259-2002, or you can go online, check out the camera that they have that's showing what's going on down there right now. The online at redcliffslodge.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for this final segment of the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Taking your texts 57500 or your calls at 801-575-8255. Next listener says, Ton, they just moved a weeping cherry tree and a blue spruce to the north side of their home, and they're wondering if they can plant a tree right now in that same area.
It would be fine as long as there's room for the tree.
Okay. Next person's asking, about the Daphnes. The plant of the week was the Carol Mackey Daphne. We talked about that in the 8 o'clock hour. But they want to know, they have read that the berries are highly toxic, and they're wondering if that's true, if they're not safe for children.
Well, that one, I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. There's a lot of stuff in our yards that it's toxic.
Like lupin and...
I mean, the delphiniums we were just discussing, monk's hood, yews. There's tons of things that we grow that are toxic. It's just more that usually when a pet or a kid puts a little in the mouth, it tastes so bad, they spit it out. Now, I don't say that callously, and if you're worried about it, or especially have pets or kids that have more of a tendency, you may want to be careful with it. But the Missouri Botanical Gardens, maybe I'll try to look it up real quick, usually designates plants as toxic if they are, but a Google search will reveal that. So I'm just looking really quick.
Okay.
Missouri Botanical Gardens isn't stipulating anything on it. So I don't know for sure. I've not heard that, but they could be.
Okay. A little more research is needed on that one. Next listener, this is Brian. He says he has raspberries planted in grow boxes. They've been there for about 10 years. These plants are from his father's garden from about 30 years ago. He says he puts fertilizer in the boxes every year, but the canes are less than a quarter of an inch and are very weak. And he's wondering if you just pull out the berries and put them in some soil in his garden or replant them. What do you suggest?
Get rid of them. If they're 30 years old, mm-hmm. they probably have a really strong buildup of diseases in them, especially viruses, that's causing them to be like this. Now, if he wanted to take a small patch of them and move them somewhere in his regular soil and see how they did, he could do that. But anytime I hear about raspberries that are 15, 20, you know, 30 years old, my first recommendation, if they're not performing, is to remove them and plant raspberries in a new spot that are not from a neighbor. They are purchased, certified virus free, so that you can maximize their longevity.
Right. Next question is, what should you fertilize your roses with, and how early should you fertilize them?
There are all sorts of rose fertilizers out there, and usually they'll start breaking bud in late March into early April on the Wasatch Front, a few weeks later in our mountain valleys. And so you can use those then, and those rose fertilizers usually are applied every month to 6 weeks.
Is it bad that I've never fertilized my roses?
No, and they're perfectly fine, huh?
Yeah.
Like, so you don't really need to.
So I've never even thought of fertilizing them because they look so great.
No. Rose fertilizers oftentimes will have a systemic fungicide in them or like a systemic insecticide. And I don't. And there's also specific rose fertilizers, and they're fine to use. You're usually not putting out a whole lot. But if you don't have fungal diseases or insect pests that you're worrying about, then just get a fertilizer. They're easy to use, and they have a picture of a rose on them. But I think that because you're trying to force flowers for the first half of the summer, just 3 or 4 tablespoons of like 16 or 2000 around the base, maybe every month would be sufficient.
All right. This next person says they have a thornless trailing rose bush that blooms several times throughout the season, and they want to know if that variety needs to be pruned.
If it's getting too big, they can prune it back, at least cut the dead vines. It's really common for those to get dead vines in there. And if it's interlaced through a trellis, you may need to cut them every 12 or 18 inches just so that they can get the dead canes out. And it's just something that they can go in and nip it back if they need to, if it's overgrowing its spot.
All right. In general, this next person says, can they mix horse manure into their flower bed soil?
Ouch. Last time I used horse manure, it was loaded with weed seeds. And unless you know those horses were fed on just almost like pristine grass pastures, I would not do it.
When can we plant potatoes?
Mid-April.
Can you grow peanuts in the Salt Lake Valley? And if
yes.
So, do you have some suggestions?
Yeah, USU has a peanut fact sheet they can download. You can order peanuts online, and I would do it soon because seeds are selling out, or if you can find them locally. But yeah, you want to grow short season peanuts, so like Spanish peanuts or short season runner peanuts. But yeah, you can definitely do it. You grow them actually like potatoes.
Okay, I'm going to try and squeeze this last caller in, and I'm not sure of your name. Good morning. How can we help you this morning?
Yeah, I want to know what kind of vegetable can I plant this early, like March or early April?
You can plant, in a week or so, anything along the lines of so radishes and a lot of the like broccoli, cauliflower can go in. Let's see. I'm trying to think of the other ones. I don't do a lot of cool season vegetables, but let's see. Here's a list right here. So artichokes, asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kohlrabi, onion sets, peas, radishes, rhubarb, spinach, and turnips.
Okay, that's plenty.
All right.
So yeah, if you Google Wasatch Front planting dates in USU, a fact sheet will come up with when you can get things in.
All right. I'm going to squeeze one final question in here, Tan. This person says they're seeing a lot of snails in their yard. What's a good way to get rid of them?
Back off on the watering a bit. So you're watering less often and more when you do. Try to clean up any litter that they're hiding in, and you may need to use an organic snail bait like Doggo or Sluggo. There's several of them out there.
Mm-hmm. It's been great. Another great show, Tan. We never can get to all of the questions. So many questions, so little time.
It does, and time flies by so fast.
I would like to remind our listeners that we have a lot of great stuff on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We put up fact sheets on most of the featured items. So today our featured items were the Carol Mackey Daphne, pruning roses, and how to best prepare your garden flower bed soil for success. So you want to check those out. Also, check out our new Dig Around Town calendar that tells you all of the gardening events that are going on in the next couple weeks here along the Wasatch Front. And you have a great week, Tan, and I'll see you next Saturday.
I'll see you next Saturday.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.